Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's up, guys? Well, pinch my ass and call me sugar. I will be damned. We won our fifth straight home game. I didn't even realize we'd won four in a row, but guess what? We have. And then we won number five today over Atlanta, which means we're going to end the calendar year of 2023 on a high note. I mean, who would have thought? I mean, it's amazing to have it all go down the way that it did against the Falcons. I feel like for the first time this season, the Bears actually played a 60-minute game. There wasn't a time during this game, I don't think, where I felt like, here we go again. I mean, it was on the back of my tongue when Taylor Heinicke scored that touchdown in the fourth quarter to make it a 10-point game. But the Bears squashed it. As soon as that happened, we rattle off 10 more points. We put this thing to bed. We do what we basically failed to do most of the season. Even last week against the Cardinals, we actually went out there and put the game to bed. And, you know, as opposed to just kind of, you know, running out the clock like we did last week on the Cardinals, we actually put the Falcons away, and it feels damn good. Not to mention, we got the number one pick locked up because the Cardinals beat the Eagles, which sucks for my pick'em game, but that was really great for us because it put two games between the Cardinals, Patriots, and I think Commanders, between those three teams and Carolina, because they lost again today. They're at 14 losses, and everybody, and the next worst record has four wins. So yeah, the Carolina is guaranteed the number one pick, which means we are guaranteed the number one pick. And yeah, it also bumps the Cardinals down to four right now, which means the Bears have some room if we do want to trade back a little bit. And, you know, say maybe go to three or something like that and still be able to get Marvin Harrison Jr. because three is the Patriots, two is the Commanders now. So both of those teams in desperate need of quarterbacks. From what I understand, both of them will be, you know, I know for sure the Commanders are going to have a brand new head coach. And the rumors say Belichick is out in New England, so new head coach, new general manager, because Belichick is both, new quarterback, makes a lot of sense. Bears drop down to 3-1-2, take quarterbacks. We get some extra picks and Marvin Harrison Jr. Wouldn't that just be, woohoo? Oh, man, I'm getting tingles just thinking about it, which means it's not going to happen. So anyway, let's go ahead and talk about this. It's Victory Monday. Happy New Year, everybody. It's January 1st, 2024. We got one game left, and it's the game. I want this game. I've been talking about it since we were like 3-9, and here we are 7-9, and, you know, we're going to get this. We got to get it. We have to. It has to happen. So, anyway, let's talk about this one before we start talking about that one. This is the Week 17 review episode of the Bears Talk Underground. So let's get to it. Hang up the So we got snow, and I was not expecting that. I was thinking 35-degree weather is not going to be the kindest temperatures for a Southern Dome team to be coming into town and everything. And then it started snowing, and I'm in Northwest Indiana, maybe an hour and change from the stadium, and it didn't start snowing over here until the game had been over for at least a couple hours. Like, I finally looked out the window at about 5:30, and then we finally started seeing snow flurries, you know, and it was snowing on and off. I think it basically snowed throughout the entire game, but how heavy was on and off throughout the contest kind of added a little something to it. Justin Fields remarked at the end of the game. I like the way he's talking, and I hate it all at the same time, because what he said was, you know, I'm going to remember this game for the rest of my life, which sounds great. You know, the win, my teammates, the fans, because they were chanting, we want Fields, we want Fields, you know, the snow, so bear weather, the whole nine yards. That's great. And I think it's wonderful that, you know, this is going to be one of those landmark moments in his life. But he's also kind of saying that in the tone of, in case this is my last game as a Bear in Chicago, which I don't like. I don't like that he's preparing himself not to be here anymore. So, but hopefully the rumor that came out yesterday that the Bears have decided to keep Eberflus, hopefully that is true, because one would have to assume, or at least one would hope anyway, that Eberflus coming back means we're keeping Fields, and basically we're staying the course and keeping Fields. We're going to go forward with Fields and keep building around him. And the upside to that, guys, is not wasting another year of Justin Fields or anything like that. My philosophy in building a team is to build the team, and the quarterback is the final piece. So one of two things is going to happen. Either this is going to become Justin Fields' team, and he's going to be our quarterback for the next decade with the team that Ryan Poles is building around him, or Ryan Poles is putting together a hell of a roster that he's going to plug a quarterback in 2025 or 2026, whatever the situation is. Like, whether it's a veteran quarterback that comes in or a rookie quarterback that will just have a strong supporting cast around him. I mean, if you guys remember, my OGs will remember this. In 2017, when we drafted Mitch, I was furious that we had drafted Mitch, because Ryan Pace had put together one of the weakest off seasons I've ever seen. Like, I don't think any of the guys that he signed in 2017 were still on the team in 2018. It was one of those years, kind of like what Poles did last year in 2022. It's like maybe three of those guys survived to 2023, all those one-year deals that he put together last season. It's like Justin Jones and, yeah, that's about it, Justin Jones. Who else did he sign in 2022 that's still on the team right now? I mean, it's just that they're not around. And it was one of the weakest off seasons we've ever had. And I wanted us to keep building the team. Under Fangio, the defense had really kind of grown over the last two seasons. In 2015, 2016, you were seeing some really great things with the defense. I wanted Jamal Adams. Now, maybe in the end it turned out to be a good thing that we didn't get Jamal Adams, because for all of that guy's talents, that guy's made out of paper mache. He's hurt all the time, you know, and not just little dings here and there where he misses a game or two. I'm like, no, this guy catastrophically injures himself. He's been in the league, what, 7 years? And I think maybe he's clocked in about 3.5 seasons of gameplay over those seasons. So, you know, when he's on the field, he is unstoppable. But being on the field is also like the worst thing that happens to him just about every season. But the last thing I wanted to do, I didn't want Watson. I didn't want Mahomes. I didn't want any quarterback. I wanted to keep building the franchise. I wanted us to keep building and then plug the quarterback in 2018, which was the Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, was all those guys coming out, and Josh Allen and all those guys coming out in 2018. Let's go get our quarterback next year. Let's do one more season. You know, with this, it's like, what did we sign, you know, Giraffe Neck for? What, I can't remember his name anymore, but, you know, what do we sign that guy for? If we're going to go and draft a quarterback second or third, or the third overall, which was the original pick. But I'm getting off onto a tangent here, but that's the upside of not taking a quarterback this time, continuing to build the team, around him, maybe getting another first round pick, another second rounder next year, and everything, which would give us 2 ones and 3 twos if we were able to pull that off, because we have Carolina's second round pick next year as well. So, yeah, load up on those picks, get those young talent in there. We'd have a young, extremely talented team full of blue chip players, you know, and wouldn't it just be the nice thing to have to figure out, like, maybe what the Commanders did, but only as a good football team, where, hey, maybe we can get some extra assets trading away Chase Young and Montez Sweat because we can't afford to keep all of these awesome players we drafted. So, you know, it's one of those things. But time will tell. Time will tell. But before we get to all that, let's talk about this game that I keep, you know, getting tangent away from and everything. So the weather is the thing on Sunday, and we saw the effects early on, especially for the Falcons and their field goal kicker, as you'll hear me say almost verbatim in the knee-jerk reaction. But, you know, for all the struggles that the Bears had with the Cardinals, it's like I changed my pick at the last minute because originally I was going to go with the Falcons because I just did not like the way the game ended with the Cardinals, how we kind of struggled to put that football team away. And I guess it's a credit to them and to Jonathan Cooper, their head coach, that these guys keep fighting until the very end, because those sons of bitches went out to Philadelphia and beat the Eagles in Philly today. I mean, come on. So, yeah, he's got those guys fighting until the very last minute. And I just didn't like that the Falcons, who I thought were a more talented team, were coming into Chicago. I thought they would, you know, I thought they'd come in and beat us. Not to mention the Bears are allergic to winning streaks. So, you know, I just didn't like the way that this sour taste in my mouth, even though we won the game last week. To me, it felt like one of those yeah, but victories that I like to talk about during the Nagy era so much. But today wasn't that, man. We kind of hit the ground running on offense. The defense was doing things. We were catching breaks, like field goals being missed. And the Bears got off to a start. And one of the statistics that the announcer kept saying over and over again was that the Bears haven't allowed points in the first quarter since the Carolina game, which was week 10, I believe. And the thing that apparently his statistician didn't tell him was that actually you have to take it back a week sooner than that, or a week prior to that, because the points that were quote-unquote allowed in the first quarter were Amir Smith-Marset running that punt back for a touchdown. So the defense didn't give up points in the first quarter then either. So, you know, there was that. So anyway, first quarter knee-jerk reaction. We got the snow. You're going to hear me talk about the snow. The Youngway Koo missing field goals. Juan, I just shut up and let you guys hear it. Knee-jerk reaction. First quarter, Bears, Falcons, and we got snow. It's snowing. It's below freezing out there in Soldier Field today, and it seems to be affecting the Falcons a little bit, or at least their kicker. Youngway Koo, one of the best kickers in the league, has missed two field goal attempts. One, which was horribly short on a 50-yard kick, which is in his range. He's a 55-yard, like I think that's his bleeding edge there. But from 50, it landed in the end zone. He was way short, had a second attempt later in the first quarter. And this one, he Cody Parkied it off of the left upright. It didn't double doink, just one doink, but it was enough. The Bears, on the other hand, Justin Fields has been throwing the ball extremely well, mostly to DJ Moore. The last graphic I saw, he had 94 yards passing. He was 5 of 6, and 70 of that had gone to DJ Moore, who had two really great catches on, well, three actually. Three great catches on three really great throws from Justin, including a touchdown on the Bears' opening drive. So it's 7-0 right now. The only thing of concern I'm really seeing from the defense right now is something that the analysts were talking about, like maybe the Bears need to switch up how they're rushing Taylor Heinicke, because he had rushed for three first downs when the pocket had opened up on that last drive where Youngway Koo doinked it off the upright. Other than that, the defense has been really good so far. Obviously, we're pitching a shutout one quarter in. The offense is doing well as well. We're up 7-0. The Bears have the ball, and we are in Atlanta territory. So just one drive for the Bears in that first quarter, but we made it count. Drove the ball right down the field. And like I said, Fields was pretty much on fire from the start. First play of the game, he goes over the top 32 yards to DJ Moore on a dime. Put it in one of those spots where only DJ Moore could catch it. We got Khalil Herbert in there doing things. Roschon Johnson ran for 24 yards on 3rd and 9. I mean, come on. It was a pass though, as I'm now reading again. But you know, Fields finds DJ Moore in the corner of the end zone. Another really great throw. It reminded me a lot of the if you're just looking for a mental image, think of the touchdown pass from Mitch to Allen Robinson in that big Tampa Bay Buccaneer blowout back in 2018, where it looks like he's going to run out of real estate in the corner of the end zone, and the ball just drops right in, bang. DJ Moore comes down with it for the touchdown. The Bears are up 7-0. So it was a 7-play, 60-yard drive, and the Bears were up 7-0 from there. And those two drives that were the missed field goals for the Falcons, 6 plays, 44 yards, 10 plays, 51 yards, where Younghoe Koo missed the field goals. Those were the best drives that Atlanta had as far as keeping their offense on the field for more than a play or two. Because after the Bears scored another touchdown at the start of the second quarter, they had one play for a screen play and a touchdown, which we'll talk about in the next knee-jerk reaction. But after that, it's three and out, three and out, three and out, basically for the rest of the half. So it's like, aside from one big play, the defense really absolutely shut the Falcons down in the first half, starting in the first quarter, because that issue with rushing Heinicke didn't rear its ugly head again until the fourth quarter, when Heinicke scored a touchdown on the scramble. But it's like, basically what was happening was even the interior guys were rushing to the outside, leaving the middle of the field wide open. And when nobody was open in the secondary, Heinicke would just step up and take off running. Now, he's not really known for his mobility or anything, but he's an athlete, so he was doing enough to get the first down, and he did that to start the football game, and he did that on that second drive on that 10-play drive that resulted in the other missed field goal. So, you know, it was looking like something that was going to be an issue for the Bears throughout the game, but after those two drives, the one-play touchdown drive, the rest of the half for the Falcons is punt, punt, interception. Those are their remaining three drives, and it was a total of 9 plays that the Falcons ran after the touchdown in the second quarter. So, you know, defense really did cinch up and, you know, get after Atlanta. But we saw this last week against the Cardinals. It was 21-7 at the half, same as it was this week. So, you know, you loved what you were seeing out there, the way that the Bears were handling things, the way that we're, you know, beating up on the Falcons, especially with the way the defense kind of closed out the half, 2 3-and-outs and an interception. You love to see it. But even going into halftime, yeah, it looks good, but we've seen this before. Knee-jerk reaction, second quarter, Bears, Falcons, and quite a bit of fireworks here at the end of the half. The Bears go for a 55-yard Cairo Santos field goal, and the wind is coming in pretty hard in that direction. We're kicking right into the face of it, and it ended up being short. That's also the one that Younghoe Koo got shorted in the first quarter. And the Falcons had a guy in the end zone catch the football, and he almost ran it back for a kick six touchdown to end the half. Thankfully, his feet got tangled up as, you know, bodies got, you know, a little bit more traffic in the red zone. He got to about the 15-yard line. He was that close to scoring. Thankfully, crisis averted. He gets tackled. No harm, no foul, essentially. But it caps off a really great quarter for the Bears. On offense, we scored 2 more touchdowns. Justin Fields finished the drive that ended the first quarter. They finished at the start of the second with a 9-yard run from Justin Fields. Then they put another really good drive together, finished it off with a Roschon Johnson 1-yard touchdown. And if not for one big play from the Falcons, the Bears defense has basically shut them down. because the Falcons had two really good drives that had that led to their missed field goals. And then their third drive was a one-play, 75-yard screen pass touchdown to Algiers, the running back, to make it 14-7. And the Bears march right down the field for the Roschon Johnson field goal, make it 21, or touchdown to make it 21-7. It's like outside of that, the Falcons can't really get anything going with the running game. The Bears are pressuring. They haven't gotten Heinicke yet. They're pressuring. Actually, I think they've gotten to him once. But they're pressuring him. They're not really anything. Can't get really anything going. I think the field may have something to do with it because our pass rush is having trouble. I think their receivers are slipping around the field because of conditions and because, you know, Soldier Field, awesome turf that we have and everything. So really great conditions out there with the moisture and the snow and the cold in Soldier Field. But if I'm not mistaken, the Bears start with the football to start the second half. We're up 21-7. Hopefully we get a touchdown to kind of – well, actually, I don't want the Bears in cruise control because that's when bad things happen. But you know what I'm saying. I want the Bears to get the ball, score some points, and make this easy for us. Yeah, I want the Bears to avoid – going into cruise control, because like I said, we've had three double-digit fourth-quarter leads and four if you want to include last week, and three of those four times we pissed the lead away and ended up losing the football games. And if we'd have won, maybe if we'd have just won one of those games, next week would actually our chances of making the playoffs, we'd be 8-8 right now. And we'd have an outstanding chance to make the playoffs if we win and maybe get a little bit of help in that, from some other teams in the NFC. So, I mean, if we win all three, then we're 10-7 or 9-7 right now. Are we 10-6? We're 10-6, right? Yeah, 10-6. Because we would have been 9-6 instead of 6-9. So we'd be 10-6 right now. We probably would have clinched a playoff berth today. Imagine that. Oh, imagine that. Probably have to wait till this time next year to start talking about the playoffs again. But a girl can dream. So, yeah. But, like I said, the defense was doing a good job pressuring. And I did say the defense was having trouble at the same time. And to avoid talking out of both sides of my mouth, I think the field conditions made it so that it was – harder for us to close on Heinicke than it would have been if the ground was dry or anything like that. Like, we were putting in good pressure, collapsing the pocket around him, that kind of thing, but actually closing the deal and getting to him, you saw a lot of slipping and sliding in this one. And, it was troublesome at times, but overall, the defense was doing its job. The secondary really did an outstanding job today. Heinicke was 10 of 29. He had one touchdown, the screen pass, and three interceptions in this one. I think we sacked him also two or three times today as well. So going into the half, it's looking really good. That 12-play, 75-yard drive answered the 12-yard, 12-play, 75-yard drive. Came in the early in the second quarter, about 10:26 was when this drive started. But another really great throw to DJ Moore, and it was one of those for you NFL historians out there. It was the ghost to the post, Dave Casper, old tight end for the Oakland Raiders. He's running forward, but he's bent all the way. He's looking backwards, kind of thing, and that's what DJ Moore did to look for the ball. He didn't turn his head back, like over his shoulder. He looked straight back, and the ball kind of fell into the basket in his arms. It was just an amazing, a great throw from Fields and an even better catch from DJ Moore on that. So, you know, and the Bears were able to polish that one off and get Roschon Johnson in the end zone for the 2-yard run to go up 21-7. You got another punt out of the Falcons, another three and out, and then the interception to close out the half. And you heard about the fireworks at the end of the half there. And what's funny is Young-Wei Koo came up short on a 50-yard field goal. And if this was a 50-yard field goal, Santos makes it, because this was actually a 55-yard attempt that Santos, you know, and the kid had to jump up to get the ball. Like, it was, if he'd have just stood there flat-footed, it goes over his head. It goes under the crossbar, but it goes over his head. He had to jump up and catch it to be able to bring it back. And at first, it looked like we were going to tackle him back on his end of the field, then he makes this guy miss. And that's what makes this play so scary, is that there are so few, I don't want to say athletes, but smaller, you know, smaller, more athletic guys. It's a bunch of linemen, a kicker, the holder, and maybe a linebacker or a running back or whatever are playing on the wing. So some actual speed that might be able to run down a DB. You're down to like two or three guys tops on a kickoff or on a field goal team. That's why, you know, the Bears made it look so easy way back when with Devin Hester on that one kick that he ran back against the Giants and everything. It was because we had all those athletes on our side, like Urlacher and Tillman and Hillenmeyer, and all those guys made crazy blocks on that return, but it was all against a bunch of linemen. There were no like linebackers or, you know, more athletic guys on the field. There's a bunch of linemen that Hester ran that kickback on. And that almost happened to us. And I shudder to think how that might have shifted momentum, because that was literally how the half ended. If the half ends with Atlanta running a kickback 109 yards for a touchdown to get within one score going into the break. But crisis was averted. The Bears were able to track him down. And it did really look like he got his feet tangled up when his teammates came to start blocking the guys that were catching up to him. And, it ended up being being a no harm, no foul, or a really exciting 10 or 15 seconds that resulted in nothing for Atlanta. So, yeah, it was a crazy few minutes that we had there. But thankfully, nothing came of it. So going into the third quarter, like I mentioned, I wanted to see the Bears come out and basically keep the momentum going. I wanted them to keep doing what they were doing on offense, mixing up the run, mixing with the pass. Atlanta actually has a pretty good defense. So it really was kind of a feast or famine kind of game for the Bears on offense. Either we were ramming it right down their throats or they were stuffing us for losses. In this football, it was like kind of like the Detroit-Dallas game last night, where both teams would have these runs where they get, hey, they got 8, they got 10, they got 11 yards, and then the next play they would get stuffed for a 4-yard loss. Those were the kind of moments that were happening on offense for the Bears today. Roshan would break one, or more specifically, Herbert. Another great day running the ball. The reigning FedEx Ground Player of the Week. He might be in contention for it again after the day that he had, but, you know, he would run one for about 12 yards, and then on the next one he would lose 3 on a dive up the middle or something like that. So Atlanta was – the defense was doing its best to try to keep the Falcons in the game, but in the end it was the turnovers and Justin Fields and Khalil Herbert being a little too much to handle for the Falcons. So – in the third quarter, that's what you wanted to see from the Bears. We wanted to see them come in, keep doing what we were doing for offense, put another drive together, put another one in the end zone, and make it a 28-7 game, and not so much keep it in cruise control. I wanted all gas, no brakes in this one, just until, like I said in the preview, I want to see a 60-minute game. I really want to see the Bears play to win for 60 minutes. Not just play 60 minutes, but play to win for 60 minutes. And starting in the third quarter, I get a feeling, I got the feeling that's what we had. Knee-jerk reaction, third quarter, Bears and Falcons. And a lot happened, but not much came out of it in this one. The Bears had an outstanding opening drive, drove the ball right down the field, big runs from Khalil Herbert, a chunk pass play to DJ Moore. Get inside the red zone, and of course that's usually where it all falls apart for us. Capped off on a third and goal catch that wasn't meant to be for Tyler Scott. He caught the ball, got 1 foot down, and that left foot came out came down out of bounds. So the Bears settled for a Santos field goal to go up 24-7. So we got points out of it and made it a three-score game. Atlanta mustered it. The only thing they've been able to do is get another field goal, I believe, on the ensuing drive to make it 24-10. Taylor Heinicke threw a second interception to Tyreek Stevenson. Then the Bears settled for another field goal with it on that one. Tyler Scott dropped another. Actually, he dropped this one in the end zone. Perfect throw from Fields, who has been on fire today with his ball location, his ball placement. His accuracy today has been outstanding. Just hasn't worked out in some cases for him, including that throw to Tyler Scott. But the Bears are up 27-10 in the fourth quarter. Atlanta's got the football. Hopefully in 15 minutes I won't be telling you about another epic collapse or anything like that. We'll be talking about a seventh Bears victory and securing the number one pick because Jacksonville is beating Carolina in the fourth quarter. You know, Jacksonville was making me nervous there for a while. Trevor Lawrence wasn't playing today, dealing with a concussion, and that guy's needed a break for a few weeks, but he's in the middle of a playoff race, so he's been out there doing whatever he can for his team. And finally, he finally got the concussion or the injury that was going to keep him out for at least a week. And C.J. Beathard, the starting quarterback for the Jaguars, you see him go up 3-0, then 6-0, then 9-0. It's like, all right, I've seen this movie before, and it was with the Falcons a couple of weeks ago when they went down there and then they went up 7-0 and then they were up 7-3, then they were up 7-6, and then they lost the game 9-7. You know, it's like, come on, we can't let the Carolina's actually got a good defense. They're injured, and you know, otherwise, but their coordinator is a genius, and that guy is turning, you know, chicken, you know what, into chicken salad out there, and getting really decent results from the defense. It's the offense that's been the issue for Carolina more times than not this year. But going into the fourth quarter, the Jaguars had finally scored a touchdown. They were up 16-0 the last I checked going into it. And so it's like, okay, for a team like the Panthers, who are averaging about 13 points a game, 16 might be out of their wheelhouse. I think we might be okay here. And sure enough, 15 minutes later when the game was over, we already knew that the Bears had locked in the number one pick because Carolina had locked in the number one pick. And I was telling my dad over dinner tonight that, without knowing what the Bears have ahead of them with this year's pick and everything, this could turn out to be like the next Herschel Walker trade. And, where it's like Carolina got one guy. That's all they got was the number one pick. It's not like they got a number one pick with a three and a 2026 fifth rounder or something like that. They got the number one pick. That was it. The Bears got two ones, two twos, and DJ Moore in that trade. And, so right now the tally is Bryce Young for Carolina, Darnell Wright, DJ Moore, Tyree Stevenson, and we still have the 2025 second-round pick and the first pick in the draft in 2024. It's like, come on. If we can turn that pick into Marvin Harrison Jr. and another first rounder in 2025 and maybe a second rounder this year to make up for the one we traded for Montez Sweat and everything, this could end up being Carolina got Bryce Young and we got the core of our next Super Bowl team in return. I mean, it's trending that way as far as how well Poles' picks have turned out thus far. We're only 2 years in to this thing, but yeah, guy's out there getting it done, man. He's playing chess and everyone else is playing checkers with the way that he's kind of mapped these things out. You know, soft-spoken kind of guy, but he's been saying from the beginning that it's a process and that we're not going to fill all of our holes in one off season and blah, 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 blah. And here we are going into his third off season, his second full off season, if you will. And, he's got the number one pick in his back pocket again. And the Arizona Cardinals just won their way out of a dangerous area for the Bears. Like, for those of us who want the Bears to keep building around Justin Fields, we're all salivating for Marvin Harrison Jr. And I know that there's a Malik Nabers and I think Ondunz or something like that. There's also Nabers is the one from LSU. Keon Coleman, the wide receiver from FSU. I'm sure any of those guys would be a great wide receiver too. But if you can get the next Calvin Johnson, let's go out and get the next Calvin Johnson. Let's do that. But nonetheless, third quarter was solid defensively, especially for the Bears. Offensively, it started out great with that first drive, 7 plays, 71 yards, and we had 3 shots from the 3-yard line. Was an incomplete pass to DJ Moore. I think that was a good defensive play, actually, from the Falcons. Second down, Justin Fields tried to get around the edge and couldn't beat him to the point of attack and ended up losing a yard on the play. And then on third down was the throw to Scott where he makes the catch, gets the right foot down, but can't get that left foot in. So it's incomplete and the Bears settled for a 22-yard Cairo Santos field goal to go up 24-7. And then I was right. Atlanta did come right back down the field. 9 plays, 56 yards for the field goal attempt. This way, Koo was able to make it through the uprights this time from 38 yards out. So a lot closer than the 50-yarder and the 42-yarder he'd missed earlier in the football game. So, and then I think it was the end of the third quarter. Yeah, near the end of the third quarter where the Bears were able to intercept Taylor Heinicke. This time it was Tyreek Stevenson who got the second interception. He made a really great play in the first half, in the second quarter. He did that thing that Jalen Johnson had done it before where he was kind of sitting in that zone and he kind of baited Josh Dobbs to make the interception in the Minnesota game. This time it was Tyreek Stevenson who was kind of sitting in his zone and Taylor Heinicke tried to throw it over his head. And Stevenson only had to take a couple steps back, jump up in the air, boom, came down with the football. And it was a great play on his part. And we got another field goal out of it. This time we didn't get all the way down to the red zone this time. We were at the 24-yard line. So it was a 42-yard kick from Santos. And then that's when the start of the fourth quarter came. And that's when the Falcons started with their best drive of the game because their only other touchdown was a one play drive on a big play. This time they actually put a drive together, 11 plays, 75 yards at the start of the fourth quarter. And this was it very much reminded me of when the Cubs were in the World Series against the Indians and my man hit that home run against Aroldis Chapman to make it 6-6 late in Game 7. And that's the only time that you kind of got the here-we-go-again kind of sense, the whole time. Cubs came back and won the game in extra innings and everything. And this was that, that eerie sense like, okay, is this step one in the Falcons coming back to make this, epic comeback against the Bears. And they're going to be the ones playing for a playoff berth next week, not the Bears, or playing with, hopes of a playoff berth next week. But, and especially since it ended in such a, a bad way. The Bears were pressuring Heinicke. He breaks the pocket. And next thing you know, 25 yards later, he's in the end zone. And it's a 10-point ball game. But, the defense shut him down because for the rest of the game, the final 3 drives of the game for Atlanta after that touchdown were punt, interception, interception. And in between those punts and the interceptions, the Bears threw in another 10 points to ice the game. We actually put the Falcons away this time. I don't know how much I mentioned it in the fourth quarter, knee-jerk reaction, but instead of coming here trying to explain between expletives what happened and how we pissed away another sure victory, we're actually happy And, you know, the Bears won another football game. Knee-jerk reaction, fourth quarter, Bears and Falcons, and we got our wish. There was no drama, no excitement outside of the couple interceptions that the Bears put together, one of which led to our final touchdown of the game. I believe Khalil Herbert ran. Pretty sure they let him finish it. He had a really nice run after the Kyler Gordon interception. It was 4th and 17. The Falcons are down, you know, 13. They got to go for it. And, you know, Heinicke serves up his third interception to Gordon. And Herbert nearly breaks it, gets it on the very next play. The Bears are up 37-17. Get another interception from Desmond Ridder, who comes in for the injured Taylor Heinicke. And aside from Justin Fields getting killed because we're throwing the football with 2 minutes to go in the game, A, why is he in there? B, why are we throwing? But outside from that, it was a pretty drama-free quarter, and Jacksonville did close the deal with Carolina, guaranteeing our beloved the number one pick in the draft, and the Bears have moved into the in-the-hunt graphic for the playoffs. So the chances of that happening are very, very slim, but it's fun to know that aside from beating Green Bay next Sunday, we have something else to play for as well. So we'll probably learn that by the time we play that it's already been decided and we're done, but maybe we will be the 2023 Detroit Lions, you know, where we beat Green Bay to finish out the year, and that catapults us to do great things next season. So we got our wish for the Happy New Year. We got the number one pick. The future's laid out in front of us. We get it done against Green Bay next week, and then it's on to 2024. And I was wrong. That first interception that led to the touchdown, I believe, was TJ Edwards. Intercepted. No, it was Kyler Gordon. I guess the second one was TJ Edwards. Oh, the last one was the second one for Tyreek Stevenson. Edwards had an interception. That was the one before halftime. That was TJ Edwards. So, yeah, Tyreek Stevenson had two picks. In this one, Kyler Gordon had the one that led to the touchdown, and it was second play of the drive. Herbert goes off tackle for 38 yards. It looked like he scored. He tried to do the same thing that Fields did when he basically Justin scored his touchdown by touching the pylon with the football. Looked like Herbert tried to do the same thing, but he stepped out before he did. So it was at the 1 yard line. They just handed off to him on the very next play. And that put us up 37-17. Like I said, in Taylor Heinicke went out. He had been limping on the previous drive. Like, I think he got twisted up when he got hit. So they put Desmond Ridder, who promptly threw another interception. That one was the second one to Tyreek Stevenson. And that was pretty much a ball game right there. So, yeah, it was nice to see the Bears finish it off, especially with the way the quarter started, with the Falcons having some hope, scoring that touchdown to be, you know, to make it a 10-point game, 27-17. We Bear fans, we've seen this all unfold a few times before this season, sadly. And instead, the Bears and the Falcons traded punts, and then there was the field goal drive, and then after another interception, the touchdown that put the game, that was the nail in the coffin. That was it. We're done after this. And so the Bears went out there and appropriately buried the Falcons, and so we really could kind of cruise in the last 3 or 4 minutes of the football game. And then we got the great news that Jacksonville had beaten Carolina, and the Bears were locked in at number one again in 2024. So, yeah, it's pretty great. And then I was not happy on the pick'em front that Arizona had beaten Philadelphia until I'd realized what the repercussion of this was, which that's what basically sealed the number one pick for the Bears, was Arizona being basically now they've got 4 wins, and the best that Carolina can do is 3. So nobody's going to catch Carolina. So there was a silver lining to Arizona beating Philadelphia and costing me 14 points in my pick'em confidence pool. It's that put the necessary space between Carolina and anybody else trying to steal the number one pick from us. So it's locked in. And like I said, the future's all laid out in front of us. Now I just, we go take care of business against Green Bay and positive vibes going into the off season. I mean, that's what happened to Detroit. They were kind of floating on the way that they finished their season, especially with a big win over a division rival like Detroit or like Green Bay. In Green Bay, the Bears have an opportunity to do the same thing. I just feel that there's probably going to be a few matchups that the NFL will look at first to be the final game of the season before they hand it to the Bears and the Packers. And if that happens, because right now I think the candidate, the leading candidate in the clubhouse right now is Miami and Buffalo, because that game will be for the division. Because Miami lost today. They lost 56-19 to the Ravens. And Buffalo won their game over the Patriots. So they're only one game back of the Dolphins. The Dolphins are 11-5. The Bills are 10-6. And if the Bills win, they will have swept the Dolphins. Therefore, they will win the division. And, you know, Miami will go from a team that's been flirting with the number one seed to being a wild card road team where they have not played well on the road this year, including the 56-19 beating they took today against the Ravens. So, I mean, that's huge. That is absolutely huge. So, it's like I think Buffalo is in the playoffs regardless now. I don't know if they clinched, but they're at 10 wins, and they're in a pretty comfortable spot right now, I think. So they can, quote-unquote, afford to lose next week. But if they win, they win the division and they're basically at home throughout the playoffs for the most part, until they have to go to Baltimore for the AFC Championship game. And we'll see if the Ravens can do that, because they've been in this spot before where they've been the number one seed and then they lose in the divisional round and it was all for nothing kind of thing. So we'll see what happens. But, I mean, if the Bears can pull this off next week, we'll end the season having won five out of our last six games. We'll finish 8-9, so, you know, just short of a losing record. For a team that started 0-4, to finish the season 8-5 is outstanding, you know. And if we'd have just won, well, I mean, we're only close to winning one of those, of that game against Denver. Say we win that game, then we're 9-8 instead of 8-9, and, you know, the playoffs are a more realistic conversation, but nonetheless, to go from 3-14, struggle the way that we did throughout the first half of this season, and finish the season winning 5 out of 6, including our last 3 division games, and beating Green Bay in Lambeau, avenging that terrible week 1 loss, that embarrassing, heartbreaking week 1 loss, and flipping the script, sending Green Bay home for the offseason for the second year in a row. That would be such a boost to carry the Bears into the offseason and a very pivotal offseason. You know, can Ryan Poles put it together and get us the necessary pieces to take the final step and get into the postseason next year, which is where a lot of people are going to expect the Bears to be, especially with the late progress we made this season, the way the defense came along, with whatever weapons we're going to add to the offense, and whatnot. It's going to be, we're going to be the Lions next year. The people are going to expect things from the Bears next season, depending on what we do here in the offseason. So, but there you have it, guys. The Bears win it 37-17. Big win over the Falcons. I think that's our second highest point total of the season. I think the 40 that we scored against the Commanders is still the leader in the clubhouse as far as single point explosions. But, I'll definitely take what the Bears put together here, and I especially like the way that we finished the game, really kind of driving the nail in the coffin there against the Falcons and finishing them, as opposed to just the Cardinals ran out of time to catch us like they did last week. So outstanding job from our guys, and really looking forward to next Sunday You know, have they set us up to have our hearts broken one more time in this 2023 season? You know, where we had all the hope and expectation going into that week one game, and the game was just an utter disaster. I'm praying, I'm knocking on wood, I'm crossing all my fingers and toes that next week we show up the way that we thought we would in week one, give Green Bay a hell of a game, and give them beating to send them home in the offseason to think about. Like, the tides have turned, bitch. The Bears are back. The Bears are back on top of this rivalry. You know, we own this again. We're taking the North back in 2024, and it starts on Sunday against Green Bay. So, anyway, guys, that's going to do it. Let's go ahead and wrap things up with Bear Up and Bear Down. Let me go ahead and pull that up real quick. As you can see, as you would think, very heavy on the Bear Up side of things. You know, very pleased with how the game went. Bear Up to Khalil Herbert. 18 carries, 124 yards, and a touchdown, which was better than the 112 that he had against the Cardinals last week. He even caught a couple of balls out of the backfield for 5 yards on this one. So almost 130 yards total offense and a touchdown in this one. Bear Up Justin Fields, 20 of 32, 268, which is actually higher than I was expecting. One touchdown, no picks, no fumbles, no turnovers. He did get sacked a couple of times, but the Falcons do have a good defense, so that's not too surprising. He also did have 11 carries, 45 yards, and a touchdown. So he basically kind of, I was reading an article from Eric Lambert, our good friend from Sports Mockery, said that, you know, what Eberflus is asking of Justin Fields on a week-in, week-out basis. He said 2-0-0, two touchdowns, no picks, no sacks. Well, we fell short on the no sacks, but he got two touchdowns. He threw for one, he ran for one, and zero turnovers. Did not throw an interception. Didn't even fumble the football this week. Step in the right direction. And so, yeah, positive things going on there. Bear Up Roschon Johnson. Another touchdown running the football this week, and caught three balls for 38 yards out of the backfield as well. Unfortunately, Deontay Foreman was a healthy scratch today, and I saw on Twitter that he wasn't exactly thrilled about that. We're kind of back to week one again, or actually more week two, because Roschon played week one against the Packers, but week like two through five, he was a healthy scratch, and it wasn't until Herbert and Roschon went down against the Commanders that Deontay Foreman got to be active and play for a while. But after six carries and negative 6 yards against the Browns, he didn't play last week against the Cardinals, and he was a healthy scratch today against the Falcons, which is unfortunate. It's just, I guess, a numbers game, and unfortunately, Deontay Foreman doesn't play special teams, so Travis Homer gets his spot. We signed Travis Homer to be a special teams guy. So anyway, Bear Up Gervon Dexter, two sacks today. They officially got him down for 1.5, but both of those sacks were his. He's becoming quite the presence in the middle, using that big body of his to clog up the middle, to close in that pocket that Montez Sweat is closing in on the edge, forcing those quarterbacks to you. He came away with two sacks today. Great job from the rookie. Speaking of rookies, Tyreek Stevenson, two interceptions from Tyreek today. And I especially love the first one where he was standing there. He kind of was standing in a zone, and Heinicke was going to try to throw it over his head. Two steps back, jumps up in the air, boom, comes down with it. Interception. We're going back the other way. And he had the second one off Desmond Ridder at the end of the ball game. So two picks from Tyreek Stevenson. Remember earlier in the season when this guy couldn't buy an interception? He was there to make the play, but he would never catch the damn thing. Well, he's gotten much better coming down with those balls, and it's been great to see. Speaking of which, bear up, for Kyler Gordon. Got his interception, even got to do a Spider-Man flip in the end zone. That's his nickname from Eberflus, is Spidey. Did a great job there, and he's been playing really well. He was a Bear Up winner last week because he got a sack in the Cardinals game. Bear Up T.J. Edwards, another interception for him. I think he was near the top in tackles again this week as well, and did an outstanding job there. And Bear Up, of course, D.J. Moore, you know, 70-something yards receiving in the first quarter alone, ended up with 9 catches, 159 yards, and a touchdown, that first one on the opening drive on 13 targets in this one. So, I mean, he's, I think his first catch of the game put him into career-high territory. Like, he had then caught for more yards this year than he had in any other time in his career, and that's, you know, outstanding. Congratulations to him. More to come. We still got one more football game we need DJ Moore to show up for. Because if you guys remember, 2 targets for 2 catches for 25 yards in the first quarter was all the Green Bay got to see of DJ Moore in the first game of the season. We want to see 9 catches for 159 yards and a touchdown against the Packers, and I hope that that means positive results for the Bears come next Sunday. So that's all of our Bear Ups. And I don't have any official Bear Downs, but I have a couple of honorable mentions. Number one, Tyler Scott. An honorable mention in the Bear Downs. So not an official one, kind of like a half. The 1 foot, you know, not being able to get the second foot down, that happens, you're airborne, that kind of thing. But the second one, Justin Fields threw a perfect pass. And I think it was just timing. Again, kind of like that pass that he missed in Detroit, that big pass where you see him kind of stutter step a little bit or come off the gas a little bit, and that was enough for the ball to just be out of his reach. In this one, I think he dove too soon. Like, it really just felt like he dove a step too soon. If he takes another step and then stretches out, I think he comes down with it, because it did hit him in the hands, so it would have been a bit more secure with another step underneath him. But it's like, you know, he should have had 2 touchdowns today. You know, if he has a little bit more body control on the first one, and then the second one, if he times his jump a little bit better, I think he comes down with it. And, you know, he's in heavy Bear Up territory. He's got more touchdowns than DJ Moore does in that one. So, yeah. But that's what we got Tyler Scott for those kind of over-the-top plays. And I'm hoping that this is an offseason where he develops and he makes that move from year 1 to year 2 in 2024 and will reap the benefits. Because I don't think that Darnell Mooney will be in his way next year. So Darnell Mooney was inactive today, but he was more of a – I think he was dealing with a concussion, so he was actually injured. But he didn't play today, which is why we saw more of Tyler Scott, and I think next year won't be an issue at all. I think Darnell Mooney's going to be playing football elsewhere next year, unfortunately. And then the last honorable mention to Luke Getsy. Number one, what the hell is Justin Fields doing in the game when we're up 20 with 2 minutes to go in the game? And then number two, why the hell are we throwing the ball? I was like, I know Atlanta called a timeout with 2 minutes and 1 second to go, so they essentially kind of get like 2 timeouts out of it. But that was their last timeout. You get the 2-minute warning, run the football. Then we run the football a couple more times. Game's over. We get to go home now. But instead, we're out there throwing. Justin gets absolutely murdered from behind. And actually, I take it back. He did fumble the ball. But thankfully, Braxton Jones, who had gotten beaten on the play, trailed enough and ran and recovered the football. So Justin Fields did, in fact, fumble the ball, but we didn't turn it over today. But I put that on Luke Getsy. Number one, we're up 20. Put Tyson Bagent back in the game. Let him get a few snaps in this one. And number two, run the damn ball, man. Our leading rusher's got 120 yards on the ground. Run Khalil Herbert. Who cares, man? It's over. What are we doing? You know, it's like there's a time for that kind of thing, and it was about 5 minutes earlier, keeping your foot on the gas. It's over, man. We're up 3 scores and then some here in the fourth quarter, we got our quarterback rolling out, passing, and with 2 minutes to go in the ballgame. It's pure insanity. Insanity. And it was almost disaster because that was an ugly, ugly hit that he took. So, you know, I'm going full bear down on that one. That's there's no excuse for that. We got to be smarter than that. I was like, I don't give a damn if he wants to go back in or not. You're his coach. He takes orders from you. You tell him, hey, man, we're up 20. We need you next week against Green Bay. We don't want anything to happen. Have a seat, man. Tyson can take it from here. This one's over. You know, we're going to take it home for you. But, and this would be a full-blown explicit episode if Fields had gotten hurt on that play. I would be beside myself with anger. This would be a yeah-but victory because we got a quarterback killed when he shouldn't have been out there in the first place. So, thankfully, he was fine, and he'll be able to play next week against Green Bay, a game that I've been looking forward to for weeks now. And, yeah, but, man, that's there's no excuse for that. It's just pure stupidity. Stupidity. So, anyway, guys, that is going to do it for the Week 17 review episode of the Bears Talk Underground. Come back tomorrow on Tuesday when we will review the Week 17 slate. And, you know, did Green Bay and Minnesota are playing right now. There's no Monday night game because of the college football playoff games. That's what's going to be on ESPN tomorrow. The Monday night game was yesterday on Saturday with the Cowboys and the Lions. Great game. Crappy finish, man. Unbelievable. The incompetence of referees in this season has been unbelievable. Not to mention every time we get to watch Justin Fields take a cheap shot and no flags get out there, but the Bears fart in the wrong direction of a quarterback and you can't see the field for all the flags that are on it. It's ridiculous, but anyway, we'll wrap up week number 17 and close the book on it and get ready for the last week of the regular season and 2023. And yeah, so everybody be safe. By the time you're hearing this, it will already be 2024. So hope everyone has a safe and happy holiday. Enjoy the college football games. See who's going to be playing that national title game next week. Come back on Tuesday for the fourth phase and the Week 17 review. And until then, my name is Larry D, and this has been the Bears Talk Underground.